Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. Lee Kelly is in studio with me and glad to have you with us today. Lots to get to. We head into the weekend. We head into an exciting weekend of college football. Of course, Indiana with a big, I don't want to call it a challenge necessarily because I think the Hoosiers are really a favorite in many ways in this game, but a big opportunity we can say for them to pick up win number 5 in the regular season and take a big step on the road, especially becoming one step closer to bowl eligibility. High school football, Lee Kelly, it continues Friday, and it's hard to believe it's the final week of the regular season before we get into postseason action. And, of course, we're just really days away this weekend. Indiana, a secret scrimmage against Marquette. Wish that you and I could be flies on the wall in Bankers Life Fieldhouse. We'd sure have, I'm sure, some interesting things to talk about, and we'll learn a lot more about this team that we continue to talk about each and every day on the program. So fun day, fun week, fun time. Basketball is almost here, and there's a lot to get to today.
Yeah, there really is, and IU is, we're certainly looking forward to the start of the season because of the unknown. There are players coming back off of injury. There are players that had decent years last year, but expecting bigger things out of them. So just hoping good things come their way. And I think, to me, one of the things going on right now with the Washington Nationals making it to the World Series, they really don't have a great superstar. I know Rendon at third base is one of the elite third basemen, but still, they lost their big gun and now make it to the World Series. I think it's all about a team, good chemistry, playing together, doing good things. I'm hoping that's where Indiana heads in basketball this year.
Yeah, for sure. Lee Kelly with me here in studio today. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. On this Thursday show, Lee and I have our Zaxby's headlines coming up here in just a few moments. That's where we open the show with the top IU and Southern Indiana sports news of the day presented by Zaxby's. Later in the hour, we'll be joined by Dylan Wallace of Inside the Hall. Alex is out today. Alex Bozich, the publisher, out, and we'll talk with one of his writers for this upcoming 2019-2020 season about the Hoosiers, and Dylan Wallace, who's been doing all sorts of preview work, not only just on other Big Ten teams, but on this Indiana roster as well. So he is well-versed and well aware of what's going on in Bloomington. He'll join us a little bit later in the program today. Then we'll switch gears. I felt like it's Thursday. We need to fit in some IU football discussion in some details as they head to Maryland for a big game this weekend. A big win, a win would be big, I should say, to take a step closer to almost for sure bowl eligibility with 6 wins for this team. And I tell you what, Lee Kelly, a win by Indiana on the road at Maryland, as more and more bowl predictions, some of them have started to come out, more and more will be coming out. A win against Maryland will really keep Indiana in the mix as far as that discussion is concerned. A loss here, you may not see the Hoosiers projected. It's still possible they could get to 6, but a loss this weekend, you may not hear as much bowl buzz about the Hoosiers. But a win this weekend, and IU is clearly going to be in a lot of the projections. It's going to be interesting to see a 6-win team, a 7-win team, maybe at best. That would be a nice step forward, what type of bowl they could go to. So if Indiana gets job done as we think they can and should this weekend against Maryland, they would take a big step forward in that bowl situation.
Yeah, and Michael Penix just keeps getting more and more publicity. He's the one, I think, that it holds the key not only to going to a bowl game, but filling the stands. If when IU has had an outstanding running back, quarterback, player, skill position player, people have gone to see them play game after game. And I think he's the young man that certainly could do that for them. He has had a good season to this point, but a win tomorrow, it's a road win you can put in that column. It's not against a ranked team, but nonetheless, it's a game they desperately need, and a win on the road would be big for this IU team.
No question about it. So we'll do all that. Matt Weaver joins us later to talk IU football and more on this Thursday program. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at our Zaxby's headlines for this Thursday, October 17th. Zaxby's with locations in New Albany and Jeffersonville. A number of things to get to. One of the players that I've mentioned a few times this week is DeAndre Davis of Lawrence Central, who has been committed to Nebraska, decommitted I think Sunday or Monday of this week. And since he decommitted, we've asked some people throughout the week, would Indiana potentially get involved? The general answer, not for sure answer, but the general answer has been likely not, because there's lots of similarities between him and Anthony Leal and also Trey Galloway, who are already in that 2020 class for Indiana. But he's had a number of scholarship offers come his way since his recruitment opened up a few days back. In fact, I saw that Purdue, one of the schools, in to meet with him and offer him a scholarship yesterday. Xavier, also another school that has jumped in. But much to the prediction of Mike Pegram yesterday on our program, or I should say earlier in the week on our program, IU, I haven't seen any mentions of the Hoosiers making contact or getting to see him or anything like that. So, again, a good player. Maybe in some regards you could say he's right in the mix with Leal and with Galloway as far as who truly is the best college prospect in the state in Indiana's 2020 class. And I also mentioned earlier this week, thinking ahead to high school basketball, Lawrence Central is going to be really good. I don't know that they play anybody from our local area, but they will be a threat in the semi-state round, that's for sure, for a local team that could potentially get that far. But DeAndre Davis, got a younger brother as well, I mentioned yesterday, that has just received an offer from Louisville. But he is getting lots of interest. So if Indiana doesn't go after him, he's going to be a player you're going to hear more from, whether it be at Purdue, whether it be at Xavier, whether it be at another Division I school. Also, a college commitment locally. Always great to see local student-athletes, and we have so many from the area in so many sports, and I never get an opportunity to mention all of them on the show as I wish that I would, but when it's a Division I commitment, it just means a lot. And yesterday there was one from Jeffersonville, senior baseball player Gavin Seabold. He committed to Eastern Kentucky to play college baseball at a very high level there. I know he's worked really hard on his game. He's had a good career for the Red Devils, and of course a big spring coming up for him potentially in his senior year, as he'll be one of the key pitchers on this Jeffersonville roster for the upcoming season. But great to see Gavin get a chance to play Division I baseball. He'll do so at Eastern Kentucky. And I know he's been very busy this fall playing in front of a lot of college coaches. And it doesn't matter the school or who it is, Lee. It's great to see, especially baseball, which has produced so many college prospects and so many great pitchers and so many great players from the area. We can now add another one to the list to follow for the upcoming season. We have a number of kids that are either committed to colleges already, some of them young players in the area that are already committed, and others that will get opportunities. But great to see a senior in Gavin Seabold get his future figured out long before his senior year as a Red Devil baseball player begins.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of these young men, that name jumps out at me. I'm wondering if we saw him in Little League back when he
Absolutely.
Was playing at the 12.
Yeah.
So that's one of the great things. We see them play at the 12-year-old age maybe and then don't hear about them a lot. Then all of a sudden their name pops up in a starting lineup for one of the local teams and you go, I know that name from somewhere. Yes. Finally, you figure it out, you know. So these kids going through the process, and it's just a lot of fun to follow them. And when they have that success, Eastern Kentucky, good baseball program. That's a good place to get a scholarship from.
Yeah, absolutely. Gavin Seabolt to Eastern Kentucky for baseball. He announced that last night. Don't talk a lot about this either, but I did want to mention it. IU Southeast men's basketball. They have had some really, really good years, and Wiley Brown is the head coach of that program. I think he had a period of six or seven consecutive seasons when he took the Grenadiers to the conference tournament and won it, or was at least in some form or fashion made an appearance in the NAIA National Tournament. Yesterday was media day for the River States Conference, which IU Southeast competes in. And IU Southeast, right there at the top, they are projected as the number three team in the conference heading into the 19-20 season by coaches in that conference. Interestingly enough, projected one, IU Kokomo, projected two, IU East. I mentioned IU Southeast is three, so you can bet lots of Indiana products on all three of those teams, including a good handful for Wiley Brown at IU Southeast. I understand that they've got some exciting players this year, and he thinks they've got a chance to be pretty good. So great to see them projected high in that conference with that season. I think they play like 2 weeks from today or 2 weeks from yesterday. That season gets underway even at the end of this month. So that level of college basketball starting very soon as well. Wiley Brown has had lots of success with Southern Indiana kids. He's had lots of success. Of course, you can imagine his roots in Louisville as a former player at U of L, as a former coach and strength and conditioning coach at U of L. He's had lots of connections in Louisville. If you look at that IU Southeast roster each and every year, if they're not from Southern Indiana, they're from Louisville or the metro Louisville area for the most part. Just a really has had lots of success by staying at home in many senses of the word.
Yeah, absolutely. I looked over some of the names this morning on that roster, and a young man from Bedford that we saw play a few years is being added to the lineup. There are some young men coming in from junior colleges that are going to be on the roster for him, and so we'll see how he gets it all to mix together. He's got a couple of players back from last year, and so it's going to be an exciting time watching all these young men learning each other's style and learning to play together.
Our headlines continue, presented by Zaxby's. And Lee Kelly, this, instead of being a headline, this is more of an opportunity just to have a conversation for a second about a familiar topic and a popular topic. But I know you feel the same way. I've talked about it so far most days this week. Our boy Romeo Langford, he just cannot catch a break. Nothing serious, thank God. If you watch the video clip of him going down in the Sunday night preseason exhibition game, it looks scary at first. I did not watch it live, but watched it a few times on replay. Lucky that that just equals a right knee sprain is what it's being reported as by the Boston Celtics, and I saw no real timeline if that means he's going to miss a game, a couple days, or potentially a couple weeks, but thankfully it's not more serious than what it could have been. That said, the little knick-knack injuries that he's had the last few weeks have definitely slowed him down as far as practicing, and that preseason time where especially you saw the Celtics play in that last preseason game, lots and lots of rookies for lots and lots of minutes. Carson Edwards had 8 three-pointers in a period. He went on to have 30 points in a game. He's playing great right now. You can't take that away from him, but it would be nice to see Romeo get some minutes like that in a no-pressure situation to show what he can do, get a chance to see the shot now that the hand, the thumb is healed. And because of a groin injury, a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, and now a right knee sprain, he's basically missed the preseason. He got to play a little bit in Orlando on Friday. That was a game where the Celtics were using a lot of their core players, so the rookies in general didn't get a lot of time. And then Sunday, he's getting some minutes, and that's when the injury happened. So summer league was a wash. He didn't get to play because of healing from the thumb. Now you can almost say the same about preseason. He got very little ticks overall because I think of some minor injuries that have nagged him. Let's hope that he can get this cleared up early in the season and work his way into a role. And I know people have said, hey, he may not be a guy that does what you want him to do as far as like breaking on the scene his first year and just, you know, absolutely making his way into the starting lineup and seeing minutes constantly for the Celtics team. He, you know, there's a number of people that know a lot more about the Celtics and their rotations and where they're at. He might be a 2 or 3 year guy that it takes him a while to upstart his NBA career. But obviously, Lee, as somebody like you and I and many people listening today that saw him play essentially every game of his high school career, you know what he's capable of, and you want him to get out there and show it. And, you know, in the Orlando game on Sunday, a couple really nice moves to the basket where he scored on, and you think, hey, this is Romeo scoring against NBA caliber players in an NBA preseason game. He's going to put this together. He's going to do it. But unfortunately, injuries, small injuries at this point, thankfully, just continue to kind of slow him down a little bit.
They do. And I've obviously never been in the position that he's in, but you take a young man like Romeo and probably most of the guys in the NBA, they have started on the team they've been on since elementary school or youth leagues or whatever, and at the middle school and at the high school level and at the college level. And now all of a sudden they're put in a situation where they're on a roster with all of these other guys that are just like them. I mean, they've been stars. They've been the focal point of local news reporting and sportscasting. And now all of a sudden they're sitting on the bench a lot more than they're on the floor. And some people obviously would handle that better than others. That just stands to reason. So you throw in the injury factor for Romeo, where he would have been on the floor during the summer league. He would have been on the floor more during the preseason here were it not for these little injuries we're talking about. So it's taken, I'm sure, a different mindset that you have to get used to. And I really don't know what that's like. I have nothing to compare it to, but that's got to be a little bit wearing on your mind and on the way you think things through.
He seemed relieved in his comments after the game, whenever, or maybe it was the next day, but when he got a chance to talk, that, you know, thankfully it could have been a lot worse. Thankfully it is what it is. I'm sure with the number of injuries and the number of basketball games and opportunities he's missed, even though he is hurt or injured, he's just glad it's not something severe, because you watch a video like that, you watch sports any time nowadays, it's amazing the injuries that happen and how severe they can be. So nonetheless, no question about it, it's great that it's not a major injury. But our boy Romeo, and I know everybody that I see out and about, Matt, when are we going to get to see Romeo shoot the ball? When are we going to get to see Romeo do Romeo things? And it may take a while. Just simply put, Lee, I don't know that I ever thought Carson Edwards would ever score 30 points in an NBA game. He's had a great preseason. It's still a big difference between NBA preseason and what could transpire between now and obviously the regular portion of the NBA, and will he get that kind of minutes in the regular season and things like that. But I think Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic, who was with me yesterday, said it best. He really, it's almost like the Virginia-Purdue game where he had just an unbelievable performance and was just knockout shooting and deep three-pointers and big heroic play after big heroic play. It's almost like that game, that momentum never ended for him. He's just kind of carried it over into the NBA Summer League and now for the Celtics. So with some interesting rookies, and we'll see what happens with Romeo, and Carson Edwards is interesting to watch. And the Celtics have some newcomers that are really going to, I think, be impact players. I'm interested about that team as a whole. I think they can be pretty good.
You know, I had a conversation yesterday talking about the upcoming college basketball season. And my comment was, I hope there are players out there that are going to be on the floor for college teams this season that make me forget a little bit about last year, because last year was one of the most fun years I've had watching. In other words, Romeo was playing at IU for one thing, and I love watching him at the college level, but a Zion Williamson doesn't come along every year. And I'm not a Duke fan, but I am a Zion fan. I loved watching that young man play and his energy and the way he got up and down the floor. And there were other players. Carson Edwards was one of those players. I mean, here's a guy that, you know, you look at him and you don't think of him as NBA material. And there were people that thought he would never make the roster and would never be on a team, wouldn't get drafted, wouldn't get picked up. And so I kind of cheer for him as the little guy, and There were other players that were just Kyle Guy we saw when he was in high school, and, you know, I never really thought about him being on a team playing for the national championship, and let alone winning it. So it was a fun year for me last year, I guess is what I'm trying to say, and I hope there are players that burst onto the scene that make this another fun year to watch college basketball.
Well, I think we know, because of how closely we all followed Romeo and the players nationally that he was competing with and against, we really got to know that senior class, which were freshmen in high school, in college last year. And I tell you, special class, obviously. I mean, you look at Zion and some of the other players, they're going to have impactful seasons at the professional level. And I think that adds to why we all want to see Romeo have an impactful season, because we know that he went toe-to-toe with those guys, whether it was at Indiana, whether it was at New Albany against some of the national-level competition they got to play, or whether it was in the summer and some of the Adidas circuit stuff. We know he's on that level. He's close to that level. He's in that range. We just need him healthy so he gets the opportunity to show that. That's a look at the Zaxby's headlines for this Thursday edition of the program. Lee and I will head to a commercial break. When we come back, the Hoosier Report continues. We'll talk with Dylan Wallace, who's filling in today for Alex Bozich. Dylan is with Inside the Hall. He's worked a lot to preview this Indiana roster for the upcoming year. We're going to get his thoughts on the team, and of course a secret scrimmage just around the corner for Indiana. They're going to play Marquette over the weekend at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, and again, we don't know that we'll find out a ton about that scrimmage, but there will be some things that leak out. And a number one thing I want to know is, how many minutes does Jerome Hunter get in that secret scrimmage game against Marquette? We'll see if we can find that out. That'll tell a story, I think, a lot about what type of season that Jerome Hunter could have out of the gate for this Indiana team. And clearly he could be somebody that helps them climb a little higher in the projections than what we've seen here in the preseason. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with Dylan and talk IU basketball. Stay with us. It's a Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back with you here on this Thursday program, Matt Dennison, Lee Kelly with me as well. And normally in this segment, it's Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall with us to talk IU basketball. And, of course, some exciting conversations recently with the season just around the corner. In place of Alex today is one of his writers. Dylan Wallace joins the program. He's a reporter for both Inside the Hall and Assembly Call, two familiar names to this radio program. Dylan, great to catch up with you and talk about the upcoming season.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks so much for having me.
I know that your most recent profile, and you and the Inside the Hall team have been doing a great job basically going through a player profile of all 11 scholarship players on the IU roster for the upcoming season. But your most recent is on Al Durham, and I think Al is clearly a very interesting team member of this IU team for the upcoming season. He was named one of the co-captains recently by his teammates, and is somebody that I think if you look at development, someone that has really found his niche, found his role, and is going to be leaned up on more this season, maybe than what any of us thought when he first arrived at Indiana he would in this year of his career. He is an interesting player and going to be a very needed player for many reasons in this IU lineup for the upcoming season.
Yeah, I definitely think he's one of the most interesting players on this roster. And like you said, when he got here as a freshman, I don't know if many people saw, you know, that he'd have a role like this, because, you know, the backcourt, they don't have too much depth this year. And, you know, whether Archie wants to play a big man lineup and he'll only have two guards, which would most likely be Devontae Green and Rob Finnessy, you know, you have Al Durham. Will he be a third starting guard? Will he come in off the bench? And it's really interesting to see how his role is going to play out this year, but there's no question that he's really going to have to amp up his production. We saw from his freshman year to his sophomore year, he doubled his point total per game. His minutes ramped up a lot too, and that's only going to increase this year. And it's interesting because this year, I think, you know, we're going to see Al Durham at the point guard a lot, and we really haven't seen that in his first two seasons in Indiana. Archie Miller's been talking about having him back up Rob Phinisee, handle a lot of the responsibilities of the point guard. And for the first time, we're going to see Al try to be sort of a playmaker with the ball in his hands. So I'm really interested to see how he's able to do that. You know, he's talked about how he is comfortable in that role. I don't know if he really handled that role much in high school, but, you know, it's going to be a really interesting to see him as a sort of a point guard of this team, because usually we're used to seeing Rob and Devontae with the ball in their hands. And I think they're going to want to use Devontae a lot more off the ball, trying to get him with some open looks behind the arc. So it's going to be cool to see, and we'll see how Al Durham can, you know, maneuver a pick and roll with some of the bigs and see how he does that. Also, his three-point shooting is going to have to be a lot better. He was around 35% last year. I think he is a better shooter than that, and I think he knows that. And for this Indiana team to really be successful this season, we all know the three-point is going to have to be a lot better than last year. I know among, you know, 353 Division I teams last year, they ranked 316th in three-point percentage. So that's going to have to increase a lot, and that's going to be relied on heavily a lot on the guards, especially Al Durham. And, you know, he's proven, you know, he was the second-best three-point shooter on the roster last year, so if he can just keep that up and then just, you know, increase it, then, you know, he'll be a weapon this year. But he's going to be a key point of the offense. I'm interested to see how, you know, he can really step it up. And he's also a captain of the team, so he's going to be a vocal leader. I don't know if a lot of people kind of saw that coming. I think Devontae and Deron may have been the guesses, maybe Joey Brunk as kind of the vocal leaders. But, you know, it's going to be Al Durham this year. And I did notice last season, you know, when they lost 12 or 13 games, I remember it was the Michigan game when they got down like 25-0 right out of the gate. You know, Al Durham was driving the ball. Even though nothing was really happening for their offense, he was clapping, he was yelling, he was trying to get the team involved. So, you know, I think he's motivated, and I think he's kind of ready to be a leader on the court for them this year.
You know, Dylan, that's one of the things that you mentioned, the leadership side of what Al Durham could bring to the team this year, communication side. Clearly he's earned that respect from the players and the coaches to be voted as one of the captains on this team. And I'm not sure yet if you've had a chance to get in front of Al. I know you obviously will when the season gets here and he's available for some media stuff either before or after games. But it doesn't surprise me about his leadership and his communication skills and how he could spin that into being a point guard for this team, because his high school team came to Southern Indiana and they played a game at Jeffersonville High School as part of an all-day showcase. And they also played across the river at the King of the Bluegrass in Louisville. And so that gave us time to get to know Al and to interview Al. This is after he had committed to Indiana. And one of the things that when I first had him on this radio program, you could tell he's got a big personality. You could tell he likes to smile. He likes to talk. And so I guess if you're an IU fan, you can remember those interviews and remember some of that stuff, at least I do, and think that, okay, maybe he can translate or is translating or has translated some of that stuff into being a communicative leader on the court, which is how he was voted as one of the captains this year.
Yeah, definitely. And he does have quite a personality. I mean, I know he has his own like fashion clothing line. You know, he loves the design. He loves to design his own clothes. So if you see him on the street, he's probably wearing something he designed himself. So he just kind of got that creative mind, and he does have that kind of outgoing personality, which I guess maybe Indiana fans, you know, if you don't really see him behind the scenes, you might not know, because he does seem kind of more of a quieter guy. But I think, you know, he's definitely ready to step in to be a leader this year. I think he was even a leader last year. I mean, they were young. They didn't have a lot. You know, Juwan was a good leader, but he was more of a quiet guy. So, you know, they didn't really have anyone to kind of yell and try to be the maybe not the coach, but like a player leader last year. And I think Al did kind of slide into that role a little bit last year. I mentioned you could see the emotion on him on the court during some games. So I think that was one of the reasons that they elected him. And, he's got to be doing something right to earn the respect from his teammates over this offseason to elect him as a captain.
Dylan, it's going to be interesting to watch who's going to be in that starting lineup for IU, and probably more importantly, how the minutes are going to be distributed. From your player profiles and from the players we know coming back, there are a lot of question marks, but if a Race Thompson, if a Jerome Hunter, if Al Durham and so on are having good games, you know, how do you distribute those minutes? And Does IU go with a three-guard offense, which puts Durham and Green and Fennessy all in there at the same time? Just a lot of question marks. Are you getting any kind of a feel for who might be in that initial starting lineup and who might be first off the bench at this point?
Man, I wish I was. I mean, the starting five is one of the most interesting, like, non-knowing things that we can kind of try and figure out this year. I mean, it's just they have so much depth in the front court that you're like, okay, they have Deron Davis, they have Joey Brunk, they have Trace Jackson Davis. Justin Smith was a starter last year. How is he going to fit into this? Is Race Thompson going to play more? And you're just like, wow, what are they going to do with all these guys? And Archie has mentioned, and I think everybody knows this, he might really want to try the old school big ball lineup. And if he does that, then are you going to have, you know, who's going to be the three? Is it going to be like a Jerome Hunter? Is he going to be like a bigger, like 6'7" three on the floor? And you're just going to have two guards with him? I personally think that might be the way to do it. You know, if you want to play bigger, maybe you start, you know, Green and Fennessy in the backcourt. You have Jerome Hunter at the three because he's a big athletic wing and he can shoot the three as well, which is huge for the team. And then down low, I don't know, you know, you can have Justin Smith or Deron Davis, Joey Brunk and Trace Jackson Davis, you know, just a combination of things. But no matter kind of who's on the floor, aside from the guards, someone's going to have to help guard the perimeter. Whoever plays the four, Justin Smith, Shoney's capable, Trace Jackson Davis, he seems quick enough, he seems athletic enough to possibly do that. So, you know, aside from Deron and Joey Brunk, people are going to have to guard on the perimeter. And I think that's what makes this lineup so interesting. Are they going to do three guards, like you said? Are they going to have two guards, maybe a bigger wing and two bigs, maybe three bigs? It's so up in the air right now. And I've just been thinking, I wouldn't be shocked if the safe bet, maybe just that first exhibition game, you start out with the guys who were on the floor last year. That's Rob Fennessy, Devontae Green, Al Durham, Justin Smith, and Deron Davis. That was basically their lineup in the NIT last year. He just substituted Deron in for Juwan Morgan. And I think that might be the way just to try things out. But I think this lineup is going to fluctuate all season long. I would not be surprised if it changes on a week-to-week basis because there's a lot of talented players on this team who are going to be playing for a lot of minutes.
Yeah, one of the players that you profiled on Inside the Hall, or was profiled on Inside the Hall, was Demezi Anderson, a young man that had a fantastic high school career, but not necessarily an outstanding freshman season. Seemed to be a little confused and lost at times, but everybody that saw him play in high school said the young man can shoot the ball, the young man's an outstanding basketball talent. So there are pieces that we're not even talking about getting playing time that could very well be on the floor more than we're expecting, which makes it even more intriguing to me of who's, you know, what's going to happen in November. What's it going to look like in January and when the Big Ten tournament rolls around? Will it be changing a great deal?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, good point. Demezi is an interesting player this year. You know, Archie has said it seems like he's going to play a lot this year, which I know if you looked at last season, you're like, I don't know how I feel about that. But I think he's going to have to play because, you know, who else do you have? I know Demezi's listed as a forward, but he kind of plays more like a guard. You know, he's going to play outside on the perimeter. He's not really going to be in the paint too much. And like I said earlier about the three-point shooting, he's going to have to really start to knock down some shots and help space the floor if he's going to play. You know, last year he didn't look really ready. He didn't look super comfortable in the system. So I think the growth from Demezi from year one to year two is going to be a big key for him. And they've called him pound for pound the strongest guy on the team, you know, which is an impressive feat to have. And he's going to have to come in. He's going to have to knock down some shots. And really, he's going to have to be a lot better defensively. That's going to be key if he's going to, you know, earn some minutes in Archie's lineup is really be able to defend.
Dylan Wallace of Inside the Hall, our guest, joining Lee Kelly and I here on this Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. You also have written stories recently at InsideTheHall.com on Anthony Leal and Trey Galloway. Two good preseason updates for them as they get ready to begin their senior years of their high school basketball careers. You also got comments from both of them about their thoughts on IU basketball this season and moving forward as well. One of the things I think most impressive about both of those guys when we've had them on this show is they're both very well spoken. They're both clearly very well aware of what's going on with basketball, not just in their own careers or at their own high schools, but what's going on out there as a whole. And guys that definitely have something to add to this program. It's just a matter of when they get to Bloomington once their high school senior year wraps up. Your takeaways maybe from those two interviews, and when you think about the addition of Leal and Galloway to the IU roster in the future, what you see?
Yeah, I mean, they're a lot of fun to talk to, and they really know basketball. I remember when I talked to Anthony Leal a little bit ago when he committed, he just talked about how he's just excited to like pick the brain of Archie Miller on the sideline to see how he thinks about things. So you can tell they're really into basketball. But yeah, I talked to them both after a Hoosier Astoria. They're both in attendance, and that was their official visit, even though, you know, they're both committed. And I mean, they loved it. You know, Anthony Leal, I mean, he's from Bloomington South. He's been to many, many Hoosier Astorias, but this one, he's like, yeah, I got goosebumps, you know, watching the players get introduced, because that's going to be me in a year. Even Trey Galloway said the same thing. And I think that's one of the things Indiana fans are most excited about these two, is that they kind of understand the prestige of Indiana basketball, and they're ready to kind of, you know, play with the heart on their sleeves and really, you know, show the passion for Indiana. And, you know, Anthony Leal, to kind of preview their season, you know, he told me he's shooting 500 three-pointers each and every single day. He's been doing that starting about 3 weeks ago. He took it upon himself to make 500 threes every single day ahead of his season, where he hopes to get to a state championship. And Trey Galloway, you know, some big improvements for him. He really wanted to hone in getting stronger in the weight room, as well as develop more of a knockdown shot. And he thinks he's coming along pretty well in that area. And, you know, they lost their state championship last year to Silver Creek by 3. So he's really eager to get back on the court and hopefully win a state title. So they're both hoping to obviously come out on top in their senior year heading into Bloomington. And they both think Indiana can be pretty good this year. You know, Trey talked to me a lot more about it, about, you know, when he watched the scrimmage, obviously no Rob Finnessy, Devontae Green, or Deron Davis played in that scrimmage, and it was just a scrimmage, albeit. But, you know, he was excited to see kind of the makeup of the team. He thinks they have a lot of pieces. He thinks Trace Jackson Davis and Armon Franklin are going to be really key additions, even though they're young. He thinks Jerome Hunter, and me too, I think Jerome Hunter is going to be big for this team if he can stay healthy. Trey thinks they're deep. He thinks they're tough, and he thinks they're going to be able to do a lot of good things in the Big Ten. So, Anthony Leal didn't say too much about the team, but he's going to come. He's going to say he's going to come to as many games in Assembly Hall as he can this year. So, I think they're both excited to get their senior seasons going. Hopefully, win the state title, and then they'll be ready to get to work in Bloomington.
Dylan Wallace of Inside the Hall, our guest. I want to ask you a Big Ten question as well before we let you go. I know you've done a lot of season preview work for Alex's site, also on the conference and future opponents of this IU team. Yesterday with Dustin Dopierak, we really took a look at the Big Ten Conference as far as the top of the conference, and obviously Michigan State is everybody's favorite. That makes a lot of sense. But do you have a sleeper or two in the Big Ten Conference as you preview IU's upcoming opponents down the road a little bit that maybe could surprise some people as far as Big Ten play goes this season?
Yeah, well, let's see. Michigan State, definitely a clear favorite, no doubt about that. You know, I kind of like what I see from Penn State. I wouldn't be surprised if they can surprise some people, maybe sneak their way into the tournament. They're a really tough team. Let's see, who else? I mean, the Big Ten is just, it's got a lot of question marks this year. You know, aside from Michigan State, every single team, I know Maryland and Ohio State are kind of the next favorites after that, but even them, you're just not too sure how good all these teams are going to be. There's going to be a lot of parity in the conference once again, as there always is. And it's kind of, you know, really anyone's for the taking behind Michigan State to see who's going to be able to step up and maybe challenge the Spartans. But I like Penn State, and I wouldn't be surprised if Indiana puts things together. You know, Archie Miller thinks the team can be special. If they can put things together, I wouldn't be shocked if they surprise some people, because a lot of people don't expect them to really be a problem this year. So I'll say Penn State and Indiana for sure.
Illinois was one of the teams in a couple of articles I read that getting some mentions as well, which kind of surprised me. But I know Matt's a big fan of the Illinois coach and knows him and feels like he will put it together there. So Penn State mentioned in one article I read as high as sixth or seventh in the Big Ten this year, possibly, by this one writer, and kind of surprised me. I don't think of Penn State as being a team that's going to shine on the basketball court, but interesting to hear you say the same thing, that you like the way it looks for Penn State this year. And Michigan, of course, a big question mark, coaching change and so on. So certainly going to be an interesting year in the Big Ten, and hopefully we can get a number of teams into the tournament, with my hope the biggest on IU, of course. Certainly would be nice to make it to the show this year.
Definitely, yeah. And, you know, you don't expect to see Penn State as a team to really shine on the basketball court. And, you know, they're going to do it in maybe not the prettiest style of ways. You know, they're gonna just out-tough you. They're going to be physical, and that's how they're going to win some games. And to your point about Illinois, it did surprise. I'm not surprised that people have high hopes on them. Really talented backcourt. They got Georgie down low, and they got a lot of young pieces from last year that are back. And but I just didn't see much from them last season that would make me like have high hopes for them this year. But I'm not surprised as to why people do think they're going to do well. I think it's just going to be, as it is for every team, just time will tell how everything shakes out. And even, you know, just talk about Purdue a little bit, I'm interested to see how they're going to do. People think they'll be, you know, top four, top three maybe in the conference, and I'm not too sure about that, because, I mean, Carson Edwards is just a huge loss, and it's going to rely heavily on how those freshman guards can come in, Brandon Newman, Mason Gillis, Isaiah Thompson, to see how much they can kind of step in and step into a scoring role and a kind of a, you know, leading point guard role on that team, to see if they can kind of maintain the success they've had in the last few recent years. Yeah, every team's just such a interesting, you know, team to look at this year. And this Big Ten season, I mean, the teams are going to beat a lot of teams inside the conference like they always do. And I don't know if that'll affect how many teams get into the tournament, because they'll beat each other up so much in conference play, but we'll definitely see how it shakes out. One thing I want to mention about Indiana's schedule, I know some people might not be happy about how easy the November schedule is, and then December just like picks up right before Big Ten play. But I think with a team that hasn't played a lot with each other, I think it's kind of necessary, because that way, you know, like we talked about the lineup, who are they going to play? Well, this will be a good time to try a lot of different things out and just get the team adjusted to one another. So I think the way the schedule set up is kind of really beneficial to IU, and can hopefully prepare them for conference play.
Dylan Wallace, Inside the Hall. You can read his work at InsideTheHall.com. Thanks for filling in for Alex today. Great to chat IU basketball with you. I'm sure that we'll do so again down the line in the future. We appreciate your time, Dylan.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right, Dylan Wallace in place of Alex Bozich on this Thursday edition of the show. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Matt Weaver of Pigs.com joins us to talk IU football. Big road game for the Hoosiers as they try to get win number 5 and become closer to bowl eligibility with 6 wins in this 2019 college football season. We'll do that after the commercial break right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach, who got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Lee Kelly with me. We're back on this Thursday program, and we're going to talk some IU football as the team heads into a big game Saturday at Maryland. This is the opportunity for Indiana to go from 4-2 to pick up win number 5 if they can do so on the road. And joining us to talk all about IU football and preview the game this weekend is Matt Weaver, who is the football writer for Pigs.com. and is kind enough to join us to preview IU football from time to time here on the show. All right, Matt, everybody excited about this Indiana team? There have been some victories that this team needed to score in a big way, and they did that. And there's reason to believe that this Indiana team can go bowling after this regular season comes to an end. But this weekend is kind of a big deal. Really, the next 2 weeks I see as a big deal for this football team. Tell us more about this upcoming matchup, this road game that Indiana needs to get the win at Maryland on Saturday.
Yeah, it's I mean, Maryland's kind of been I mean, you know, you talk about the definition of Jekyll and Hyde. It's been Maryland. I mean, they started the season, you know, on fire. You know, obviously beat an FCS team in Howard badly, and then, you know, really put a whooping on a Syracuse who at the time was ranked, I think, like 21st in the country, and kind of opened people's eyes. And then, you know, had a head scratching loss against Temple, and you know, got blown off the field by Penn State, and then came back and beat Maryland pretty soundly. And then last week, obviously, at Purdue, got beat pretty badly. So, you know, they're kind of reeling right now. Their starting quarterback, the draft transfer Josh Jackson, got hurt in the Rutgers game a couple weeks ago. Got a high ankle sprain. I don't think he's going to play. It's going to be Tyrell Pigram, and he's an athletic guy. Doesn't throw the ball great, but, you know, they like to run the ball. They've got some good backs. They've got some speed there, so. So this could be a game defensively where if Indiana can tackle well and, you know, do a good job of slowing down their running game, they'll be able to move the ball on offense, passing, the, you know, throwing the ball. I mean, Maryland is one of the worst teams in the Big Ten as far as defending the pass. Indiana is one of the best at throwing the ball. Michael Penix is playing pretty well. They got, you know, obviously, Walt Fillier has been terrific, the receiver. So, you know, I think if the defense can hold its own and slow down their pass, excuse me, their running game, you know, Indiana should have a really good shot to come away with their fifth win.
Yeah, both of these teams trying to find a way to win this game on Saturday. Both of them trying to improve their chances of making it to a bowl game. I think Maryland 3-3 on the year. They're basically in the same boat. So this game, whichever coach can get his players motivated and plays obviously the best on Saturday, big step forward and try to make that bowl game.
Yeah, and for Maryland, there's probably a little bit more sense of desperation there. It's like they're 3-3, and they still got to play. They still got to play Ohio State. They still got to play Michigan, and they still got to play Michigan State. I think the only one of the Big Four they've played so far this season has been Penn State. Obviously, excuse me, that did not go well at all. So, you know, if you look at those three games for them as losses, and if they lose Saturday, then they're done as far as bowl eligibility. So they're gonna. I guarantee you they're going to come out. They're going to probably throw the kitchen sink at Indiana and do everything they can to try to get this win because they've really got to get it to keep their bowl hopes alive. Because, you know, for them, this could be their bowl season right here. They lose this, and if you're looking at those other three games as most likely losses, they've got to win this game. So Indiana's got to be ready for that. They've got to come out and, you know, be on the attack early, be ready for that. And I think if you get them down, I think Maryland – I don't want to say they'll fall, but I think that, you know, if you got to lead the second half and you're playing well, I think you'll have a good shot. I think this is probably a team that's probably a little bit mentally fragile because of how their season's gone the last few weeks and knowing that this is a big game for them. So if you can come out and play well and kind of punch them in the mouth, you know, I like Indiana's chances.
I think probably if you're a fan of offense, then this is a game that could be very enjoyable. I think Maryland's averaging like 36 points a game, and IU's been putting a lot of points on the board. This could be a real shootout if both teams are on come this Saturday.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, like I said, you know, with Pigram at quarterback, it's more of a running attack. You know, he's not the greatest thrower. You know, he hits some passes, but he's in. You know, he's kind of inconsistent. Accuracy is an issue. But what he does well is, I mean, he showed at Purdue. He had a 61-yard touchdown run, but then also he had some turnovers and some mistakes. So, but if their running game's on, they've got explosive guys. I mean, they got a running back. I think is averaging like 7 or 8 yards a carry, if I'm not mistaken. You know, so they've got explosive players. They've got athletes at receiver. So if you're not careful, they can beat you there. And obviously Indiana is playing well offensively and you know, take out the Ohio State game, which is, to me, is an outlier because nobody's doing anything against Ohio State this year. You know, this offense has been noticeably improved, which is, you know, what they were looking for when you brought in Kalen DeBoer.
Talking with Matt Weaver, Pigs.com. You can read lots of great previews content related to IU's road game Saturday at Maryland from Matt at the Pigs.com website. I always ask you when we have you to look ahead and forecast a little bit using your opinion, using how much you follow this team. And I know Maryland is a pivotal game. There's no question about it for this Indiana team. But as you look through the rest of the schedule, there are obviously still a number of games to go. I think you've got to say at Maryland this weekend, and I think you've got to say at Nebraska, two pivotal weeks for this team. Not that Indiana will be the favorite no matter what happens this weekend at Maryland, not that they will be the favorite to go and win at Nebraska, but definitely 2 weeks that could really send this team on a course of not just getting bowl eligible, but getting closer to bowl eligibility, and perhaps if they win one, if not both of them, could really send this program to new heights as far as win total goes, as far as expectations and momentum goes, which then, of course, falls down into the recruiting as well. Indiana not just makes a bowl, but finds great success in winning more than just six games and the minimum to get to a bowl. That would be a huge step forward for Coach Allen in this program.
Yeah, I mean, I look at these next three games. You had this four-game stretch. Obviously, you won the first one against Rutgers, which was expected. You know, to me, you know, this team needs to find a way to get two out of these next three. And I don't think winning the next three is out of the question. But back-to-back road games is tough. Nebraska is not playing great. The quarterback's banged up. But that, to me, is a winnable game. But you got to go out and play. You go out and win this week, and I won't say the pressure's off, but you can, you know, you're only one game away, and you got a lot of opportunities to get that sixth win. But if you can get two out of these next three and get 6-3 at worst going into the next bye week, then you come back and you've got at Penn State, which is going to be a really tough game. Even if you play well, that's going to be a tough game. Michigan at home, which it'll be interesting to see how Michigan is if they lose a few more games. I think that's a game Indiana can be competitive in. And obviously going to Purdue, we know how tough that can be, no matter how good or bad they are. But, you know, you're 6-3 after going into the bye week. You know, 7 or 8 wins is doable for this team.
Matt Weaver, Pigs.com. Matt, thanks for the chat. We'll catch up with you next week after this big road game for the Hoosiers.
Okay, guys, take care. Have a good weekend.
That's going to wrap things up for this Thursday program. Back with you tomorrow at 11 a.m. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.